God preaches to us in Psalm 45 about a wedding day. It's His wedding day with us, where the Messiah King looks at lost sinners and says, "Hey, I will give my life to you, and I look at you as my bride because of the forgiveness of sins and the salvation I bring. So I want you to come into my palace." And we're going to take a look at this Messiah King. We don't know in history, Psalm 45, who that might be. Could have been King David. But mostly it points to the Lord Himself, as we'll see from the book of Hebrews. And I know wedding days are full of excitement, anxiety, and for a lot, memories, you know, loved ones being in heaven. The day is still holy to God, where husband and wife came together, and it's still holy to God. So He's the one who invents that, and He uses that togetherness as saying, "This is the way I am faithful and true and loving to you." So this is Jesus talking to us this morning in Psalm 45. There's excellent Bible studies on this by Dr. James Boyce, Dr. Garber, so I want to give them some credit. But how does it start off? Talking about the Messiah King as the most excellent of men. The one they said about Jesus, you know, "You have the words of eternal life. Where else are we going to go?" And they said about Him, "No one speaks like this man speaks." This is the Messiah King. And the bride is invited by the Messiah King into His palace. And we know this King in Psalm 45 talks about Jesus because in Hebrews chapter 1, God's word says this. About the Son, God says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever. God, your God, has anointed you above your companions with the oil of joy." So something really exciting is happening in heaven. We get a peek in heaven. God the Father is anointing God the Son and saying, "You're the groom for the bride, for the lost people, Jesus." First, 6 is Jesus being the Messiah King. Verse 7 is God the Father anointing Jesus. So it's kind of a special thing. You might have had a special memory, you know, right before the I do's were exchanged, where somebody was getting you ready, putting that flower on and getting the hair and the bow tie just right and so forth. But that's God the Father and God the Son. Enjoying, anticipating how Christ is going to relate to you. God, the Messiah King, is anointed by God. Kind of like a John 1:1 of the Old Testament. He's with God, and He is God. So it's quite an honor that we give to Jesus in the passage, and rightfully so. And so, moving along, what are the qualities, again, of Jesus? Most excellent of men, His lips are anointed with grace. And this, you know, what Jesus says is always gracious, always sets us free, grace upon grace. He was full of grace and truth, God's word says. So that's the Lord who loves you. And listen to this old-time preacher make a comment about it, about the Lord. "Neither heaven nor earth has ever seen such a King. Your sufferings, your death, your resurrection, your eternal existence are all in one compassionate Savior." So this is the one who pledges His love to you and me and His faithfulness. And we say, "Whoa, wow, we are so honored, humbled, happy." You know, you might see different brides say, I'm going to be married, you know, and so on. And this is, you could say that about the Lord. "I'm going to be wedded to Him in my soul." And He initiates the whole process. The preacher goes on to say, "All the virtues we could ever imagine could not rival You, Lord. You are music in perfect harmony." Good motivation for the choir. They always got that perfect harmony going. Jesus honored in their singing. "Everywhere we look, You are a treasure of sufficiency." So we know in the ups and downs of life, aches and pains, really glad times, we say, "I think the Lord's making all this possible. He's the one." Treasure of sufficiency. Even our salvation. Him alone. You know, Christ alone, our cornerstone. So what a blessing this Messiah King is who would come to us. And here's again, he's the most excellent of men. He's anointed with grace, grace upon grace. He's victorious in truth, humility, and righteousness, Psalm 45 says. And nations fall beneath your feet. They fall beneath Jesus' feet. And it's been said about the Lord, you know, his victories. He was a champion king who did warfare, and surprisingly, in behalf of not only truth and righteousness, but humility. Have you ever known of a king or the leader of a nation who said, I'm going to teach the whole nation about humility? Oh, you wouldn't find that in the speeches of the dear, you know, governors and presidential candidates running, you know. Okay, everybody, let's all be humble together. That's not. It's in the Messiah's character to build that into our lives. Isn't that fantastic that he's like that? He's the strength that would reach down to us, wash our feet, give his life for us, be a number one servant. Talk about our dear brother and sister Bill and Karen. Ravi Zacharias noted in the Bible that the word lead, that's a big theme nowadays. The word lead is in the Bible four times. So it's important. But the word servant is in the Bible 1,000 times. 1,000 times. What do you stress when it comes to following the Lord? You know, do you stress, well, I'm going to just follow me, gang? Or are you going to be, when we serve, we're going to be following Jesus. We're going to be like him. Victorious in truth, humility, and righteousness. Nations will turn to him. And so we know Jesus accomplishes this by sacrificial love, that nations fall beneath his feet. Certainly our hearts did. He didn't twist our arm. He didn't bang our head up against the wall, you know, when he said, you better believe in me, you hard-headed sinner. He won us over by his love. Listen to this quote, James Boyce, a caution for God's people. Jesus was victorious through loving sacrifice. The good news is not given by force or coercion. Whenever the church has used force as a way of promoting truth or values, it has lost spiritual battles. And we become like the world, adapting the very evil we oppose. So it's good to stand for the truth, but not with force or coercion. The armies could be filled with born-again Christians, and Congress could be filled with born-again Christians. We need hearts surrendered to Christ. That's how Jesus wins people over. And because the other has been tried in certain countries. And one dear king said, I'm going to baptize you all, and you're all automatically Christians. I think that was Constantine, I think it was. Yeah. And he did that, and he thought, this will solve all the problems, you know. Well, everybody just went, I'll get baptized, but you can see what a rascal I'll be. But and we have people getting baptized as a way to honor the Lord. We appreciate that coming up in October. But you can't force. It's Christ winning people over, and you loving people toward himself. His rule will last forever. He loves righteousness and hates sin. That's something we want God to build into our lives, that sin becomes so horrible to us that we say, we're broken and contrite about it in our own life and in the world around us. And we intercede and bring the only solution, which is Christ. Only solution to sin. The Lord's faithful. And so the Lord, and then a wonderful thing, God anoints God the Son with the oil of joy. And the old time preacher said, you know, you could picture God right before the big event. He's saying, God the Father says, now what can I anoint this Messiah with? I can anoint him with sovereignty. That's very important. I can anoint him with the spirit of prayer. That's very important. I can anoint him with, strength and justice. Yeah, that'll be important. But let's do this. For his relationship with these dear people, let's anoint him with the oil of joy. So we get to see God joyful. Can you picture? Joyful, taking delight in sinners like you and I. We put our trust in Him. And He anoints the Messiah with joy, and the joy spills on to the people. As the bride is led into the palace, joy and gladness. They're led by joy and gladness. And you can think that, ask God to build that in your soul. You know, joy is not a smiling emoji. Those are wonderful. But joy is from the heart. You know, most of us don't have that naturally. I have the oil of cranky. I anoint myself with the oil of grumpy, of the oil of anger. Okay, God anoints with the oil of joy. That's inner strength. That's Jesus over you. J-O-Y. And again, it has to be from the heart to, there's a spring in your soul and your spirit. Might not be a spring in your step. The knees are too achy. But you can have a spring in your soul and your spirit and your love that the Lord gives you. And so He anoints with the oil of joy from the sacrificial love of Jesus. And often His relationship with us is seen like as a big banquet, a wedding. Joy mentioned 700 times. Joy, rejoice, be glad. It's a lot. I'll take a verse or two for me in there. Reminders. Honor God with joy. Joy will be upon our heads. We will have sorrow and sighing. It's there because it has to go. So don't beat yourself up if you say, I've had sorrow and sighing for 5 years now, and I can't seem to get rid of it. God says, you know, it's going to flee away. It's going to flee away. And gladness and joy I'll give you. And I think in our souls, you know, there's a couple kinds of joys. There's ecstatic joy right off the bat. I don't have much ecstatic joy in public because I would scare people with too much vim and vigor and so on. You'd say, "Who? What happened to him? What has he been drinking?" That's what they said about the apostles in the Acts chapter when they received God's Spirit. But there's ecstatic joy, which is real good. I have it at home. I have it in the shower. Ecstatic joy. You can have it in your soul and in your heart. You can express it too. That's no problem. Then there's steady joy. God is faithful. God doesn't change. We can trust Him. And then there's persevering joy. When the sorrow and sighing are there. Okay. Joy's going to win. God's anointing is stronger than all the brokenness the world could put together. He'll be with you. And then, instead of shame and disgrace, everlasting joy will be theirs. That's from Isaiah also, 61. Instead of shame and disgrace, you know, before God we would say, I fall short. I feel disgraced. I don't like the direction of my soul. Instead of that, God said, look, I'll give you myself. And you'll know you're loved, you belong, the strength of God, the joy of God will be with you. So take from this Messiah King Jesus His wonderful anointing of the oil of joy to your soul. And this will be a persevering thing all your life. You know, people are curious about joyful people. You say, what's that gal, that guy, they have life. That's life. It's the life of God as they've received Christ. So put your trust in Him. Let's pray as we come to His table. Lord, I pray for everybody here that if anybody has never said, I want Jesus to be my Savior, my Lord, this Messiah King, to save my soul from sin and help me walk with this great King, this wonderful Savior. And we would be shocked to find you, Lord, full of truth, humility, righteousness. We would be glad you'd share these with us. So